When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
In this episode, we're joined by Sydney-based artist Eastie Beastie. Ella and I go back to the very beginning of our careers, and we've known each other since then. She has been working for herself for such a long time, and I find the knowledge that she has and the things she's learned over the years are really interesting to share, particularly for other founders or creatives that are obviously evolving and growing and, you know, learning what that looks like as you continue to go on in your creative career and diversify as well. And I think Ella's really good at that. So I hope you all enjoy this chat just as much as I did.
I'd like to start the episode by acknowledging the traditional owners of the land on which I'm recording, the Yugambeh people, and paying respects to elders past, present, and emerging.
So today on How Do You Hustle, we have Eastie Beastie joining us. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. You're in sunny Sydney?
Yeah, in Bondi. And it's lovely. A very crisp but delightful winter morning. Well, almost winter, one day away.
I know. It feels like it already, though. I'm in my jumper up in Queensland. So how have you been? What have you been up to? Fill us in.
Lots. It's been a really busy couple of years. It's been like a real up and down couple of years. Lots of good and not so good stuff has happened. But the last 2 months in particular have been like particularly wild. I went to Bali to create a pontoon mural. Which is like a pontoon's like this, like it's a, like a floating bar basically off Lambongan. And I was redoing the toilet painting, which is, you know, great for the health. It was like this big like shark decal, which looked like the shark was coming out of the wall to eat you. And so everyone was kind of like, it's right next to a surf spot, so we had to get rid of it. And make it something a little bit less like cursed. So repainted it into like one of my Eastie like cowgirls, like surfing, which is so much fun. Like I could like paddle, like I'd have to paddle the longboard over to the pontoon in the morning, and then like have all of like my stuff in like a dry bag, which is like just a real kind of like fun novelty. And then as soon as I got back from Bali, I moved house. I wouldn't wish on my worst enemy. And then I've just been like prepping for a bunch of exhibitions. I did a really great group exhibition about a month ago called Desire Lines, which was fabulous. And this podcast actually comes at like wildly good timing. Ooh. Because we are actually announcing today my exhibition up in Newcastle.
Wow, how exciting.
So it's called Spirit Guides of Your Southwest Mountain Trip. And It's all pieces, like resin pieces with like Posca pens, rhinestones, pearls, glitter, swirly amazing stuff. Everything really like psychedelic and trippy. And that's happening at Jack Jack store.
Amazing.
Up in Newcastle. Yeah.
Congrats.
Happening in 2 weeks. Thanks.
Are you going up? Obviously.
Yeah. Yeah. So opening night's on the 17th, which I'm really excited about. And we've actually got a tattoo artist booked for opening night to do some of my artwork as flash tattoos.
So cool. So,
yeah. So me and my friend Kate runs Jack Jack. She's been helping me organize it, and it's just been so exciting. So I'm really, really excited to like finally announce it. So hopefully it'll already be like announced by the time the podcast comes out. So yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Wow, that does sound a little busier than the
it's
average.
It's been a little chaotic.
Yeah, I follow you obviously. And yeah, every time like I'm on Instagram, I feel like you're doing something exciting or doing a new artwork. So I know you like have on and off kind of capacity, I guess. Like you sometimes are open for your commissions, but like when you have other projects, like how do you kind of manage that workload? Because you obviously can't do everything and be everywhere at once.
It's been something that I've really just had to kind of figure out as I've gone. Like I am kind of knowing what I have capacity for has really just come from doing it over a few years. Like, and it's also like, you might have time to do it, but you might then be so overwhelmed with projects that like the following 2 weeks, you're kind of burnt out. Totally. So you've got to be able to predict it a little bit and be like, oh, I know if I kind of push this, I'm going to just be, you know, a heaving pile of just sad girl for the next 2 weeks.
And so, with creativity, like, you know, it's not a magic switch. You have to be energized and inspired.
100%. And if you're tired, you're not creative. So it's really like, it's really been learning a lot about myself and learning a lot about what, like, where my energy levels sit and how to manage it. And even things like knowing where my cycle is at, because you'll have higher energy points throughout your cycle, and like kind of being aware of that, which maybe TMI, but
no,
it's become big to learn about it for me. It's been a huge key in knowing how much I can take on.
Yeah, I feel like everyone talks about that now, and like I kind of wish I knew about that a long time ago, because it actually explains a few things over the years.
Oh my God, so much. Yeah. So much. And just like knowing if you're feeling kind of down for that like little patch of time.
That's why. How do you kind of structure your weeks? Because obviously you completely work for yourself, right? Like, you're your own boss. You have like, obviously sometimes you have commissions with deadlines, but yeah, how do you kind of plan and work that out?
Well, in the time since we last spoke, I've actually been going to a studio now.
Oh, wow.
Which has been really fun. So my friend has a sort of spare bedroom that he leases out as a studio. So I've been going, work has become like a much more like 9-to-5 thing for me now, whereas before when I was just working out of my second bedroom, it was very, I actually found structure and I found getting a good routine really, really tricky. So my weeks are, they're not actually as structured as I would like them to be still. Like you still kind of have to just be okay with just going with whatever's on at the moment and just knowing like, I mean, I just keep a diary. I keep a calendar of deadlines and things like that. I have spreadsheets coming out of my ears, but you do sort of get in tune eventually with what's on, what's coming up, what you can push as well. So like, I'm very lucky with the fact that a lot of my customers are just really very chill and like, they're really, they're an absolute joy to work with. And you know that like you'll tell them like this is you set the expectation like this is how long it's going to take, but if you know you're going to get into a really busy patch, you kind of know what you can push, what you can move, what you can reschedule, and as long as you're staying in touch, you do have that flexibility.
Yeah.
And also just having like the foresight. Like, if you know a really busy patch is coming up, you know maybe to not book in so many commissions, things like that.
Yeah.
And yeah, and really just, I think really the thing, the biggest thing for me is just accepting that no day is the same, and you're always kind of going to be on the fly a little bit, and that's just part of it.
It is, yeah. I think it's so funny talking to you now. Like, obviously we spoke pretty much 2 years ago exactly, and I was kind of like wanting to do freelance, and I've since done it, and I feel like my understanding now, I mean, I'd always done little bits and pieces on the side of my old job, but like, I fully went freelance last year. I was doing podcast production for a couple of podcasts. I was doing my podcast, and then I was doing copywriting, social media, and some other like just creative.
So, like, so many balls in the air.
So many balls, so many deadlines, like every week was different hours. I was also doing like project-based stuff, and oh my gosh, I feel like I do understand now a little bit. Like, it was just crazy, and I found like the constant chasing of the work, I found so hard, the invoicing, chasing invoices, and then just the brain power it takes to juggle. And,
you're wearing like every hat in the business. Basically. Yeah.
And like, I feel like
it all.
You do. It's and hard. I feel like a busy week, like if you've already got heaps on, of course, that's the week that everything's due. Like, every time. Yeah, that's just what it is. Week.
Yeah. And like, that's also when like your printer stops working or like things just go wrong. And like, it's just up to you to figure it out. Like, you've just got to. Yeah, it's tricky. Yeah. It's a challenge. I really feel that. It's always like,
it's hard.
It's always a bit kind of, but you're on the edge a little bit.
It is worth it. Like, the trade-off for that was, you know, picking my own hours, working for yourself, choosing your hours, and like being your own, like when it's only you every day, you're your own colleague.
Yeah, yeah.
Think of your colleague yourself.
Oh God, yeah. She kills me sometimes. She's a real pain in the ass occasionally. Yeah, she wants to go for stuff when she's got so much to do. She sleeps in. No, it's good. It's good. You do eventually realize, like, and this is also part of growing up. Like, I'm nearly 30 now. Yeah. And you do sort of realize that the buck stops with you, and, you know, it won't work unless you do. And it's just, you do, as you get a little bit older, I feel like I have so much more discipline now than I did 3 years ago.
Wow.
And I think it just comes as you grow up, like, and as you learn the lessons, you're like, if I don't do this now, I will be stressed out of my eyeballs later. Like,
100%. And like, I don't know, what advice would you give to maybe an artist or creative that is looking to go freelance or start working for themselves or opening up their books to take, you know, clients for commissions, whatever? What would you say?
So much. Where do I start?
I know.
I think I'll come at this from like two ways. So I'll come at it from like the hyper realistic, maybe tough love way. You're gonna have to wait until you physically can't do your full-time job and your side hustle at the same time anymore. So you'd really, as non-romantic and as like non-magical as it sounds, you have to wait. You have to be patient. Make sure there is enough coming through, and it will get to the point where you'll feel your capacity like absolutely stretched, and you'll be like, okay, now's the time. And then just like, you have to be patient with it. And then the other part of it is that there's got to be, this is like the slightly more like woo-woo side of it, it has to be, you have to have such unshakable faith in it that it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when it working. Like, I love when that. I was just starting out with Eastie Beastie, I was telling myself, like, it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. Like, this is going to happen. You're going to do this full time. You're going to be successful at it. And you need to, like, you need to back yourself 100%. And you need to, on that note, like, back yourself, have the confidence, but make sure you're asking the questions, make sure you're learning, like, make sure you're not just assuming, you know, you can do this. Assume it's going to happen, but assume you're going to put in the hours and you're going to learn the lessons and do the hard yards. Because it is, it's tough. It's really tough. And there's so many, oh my God, there's so many days where I just, like, self-doubt just really creeps in. And just,
so
like,
hard.
I'm so, like, uncool. Like, I'm such a loser, blah, blah, blah. Like, my stuff is so shit. And then you have other days where it's the total reverse. Where you're like, I'm fucking unstoppable. And you gotta, it's tricky. Like, you gotta, it's so much self-management, and you've gotta be able to ride those highs and lows and be okay with the uncertainty. And yeah, and know, like, be so clear with yourself about how much you need to earn to make it work.
That's a big one. Yeah.
Big one. Like, be honest. Like, don't just be like, I think I need roughly this amount, because that's what I did at the start. And it's like, no, you got to think about tax. You got to think about rent, like groceries, things like all these, like, little things, like going out. Are you going to want to buy clothes? Like, are you going to have to give up certain things during this time? And I, at the first, I was really quite wishy-washy about it. And then, you know, after a little while, I was like, oh, I actually need to get way clearer with myself about what my monthly target is. Is that achievable? What do I need to do to get to those figures? Like, there is a little bit of like you do have to be a bit of like, there's got to be elements of like bulldog in your personality.
Yeah.
Not the whole way through, but you've got to have a bit of grit, and you've got to be like, no, this has to happen. Like, it's,
and if you don't have work coming in, how are you going to get it? Like, you have to be able to have those like plans and backups in place, I guess.
Totally. And 100, like, part of it as well, like, part of your strategy for that can be having a part-time job. Like, you don't have to completely rule that out. Like, if you want to mainly do freelance and or mainly be a creative, or, you know, do anything where you're kind of working for yourself, having a part-time job in your back pocket that you can kind of go back to flexibly.
Smart.
There's nothing wrong with that. That's not a failure. That's part of a strategy. Like, totally. That's fine. Yeah. And I think people don't realize that can be part of your income if you want it to be.
Yeah. I like that you say that, because I do feel like some people expect, and I, like, you know, it's totally fair, because I mean, I had no idea when I went out and did it, but like, some people expect things to just happen straight away. And like, I made it moment. But the reality of it is there is highs and lows. There is ebbs and flows. Like, it's not going to be like any business. If you're running a fashion brand, if you're running your own, you know, digital agency, you're going to have ebbs and flows. That's just what it is. But you actually have to plan for it and then have
and not panic when you do have the low. Like,
yeah,
you've got to really be very accepting of that and be like, not let the fear grind you down, basically.
Yeah, because it very easily can take over. How do you keep that motivation as well? Like, you obviously love what you do. You're obviously very good at it. But yeah, how, like, if you are having one of those flop days, like, what kind of things do you know you can do to kind of change it?
I honestly feel like I have many flop days too. Yeah. Like, I have many, many times where I'm like, oh my God, like, what am I doing? I genuinely, like, it sounds a bit harsh, but I actually feel like motivation's a bit overrated. Motivation comes and goes. And I think if you're, especially being an artist, like, there are periods where you just love what you're doing and you have like the, like, the biggest ego where like your head won't fit through a door. And then other times where you're just like, man, I just suck. Like, what am I doing? Like, and it's, I really feel like that can really affect your motivation. And so motivation is not to be trusted. I think what can be trusted is showing up.
Yeah.
And just
be consistency.
Yeah. Put the hours in. You, and again, like coming back to it, just visual arts, 90% of what you create is going to be a bit shit. And you kind of have to be okay with that. And as long as you're there and you're putting in the hours and you're putting in the practice, good things will come from that.
Yeah.
But if you're solely relying on staying motivated, you won't be there half the time.
Yeah, that's like, a good point.
Yeah, motivation, she's a flaky mistress.
She is. And so, but sometimes it's literally stepping out away, removing yourself.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Allowing yourself to have a day.
Have a mindfulness day. Absolutely. Like, and also like that all just comes back to like being in touch with yourself. Like, know when you need a break and know when you need to just do a thing that's just going to make you feel good.
Exactly.
And that doesn't matter what that is. Like if you were having a really, really tough time in a corporate role, you'd take a mental health day. I mean, hopefully.
Yeah.
I feel like that's so accepted now.
Yeah.
And I don't think there's anything wrong with doing that when you work for yourself as well.
Yeah, totally. So how has your art kind of evolved and changed over the last couple of years? Like I've been following you since the very start, like we go way back. But yeah, like I've definitely noticed a bit of an evolution and I feel like your art tells kind of a story. Like they're quite like narrative, like there's always a story involved in every piece, but you also like do other art as well. So yeah, tell us about.
So I'll start with that. So not a lot of people know this, but I actually have a totally different art style, which I do concurrently at the same time as EC. So I kind of have two businesses.
Two personalities.
I literally describe Eastie as an alter ego.
Yeah.
And a total side note, like I'm going to tangent here a little bit, but this is a really funny story to that. I was at my friend's hen's party not that long ago, and she has a bunch of friends that are nurses. And we were talking about what we did for work, and they were like, what do you do for a living? And I was like, oh, like I'm an artist, but you know, like I have my main like bread and butter style is actually an alter ego. Like it's a separate personality. And they were like, oh, well, that's amazing. And then later on, I found out that they then went to my friend and they were like, hey, your friend who's a schizophrenic, like it's so amazing that she's so open about it and so honest. And I'm like, oh my God, no, I said the wrong thing. I'm not a schizophrenic. No, it's not that. It's not that. It's just an alter ego.
Oh my God, they diagnosed you?
They diagnosed me. I know. Right.
So not literally.
Not literally. It's an alter ego, which is just a little, it's like something else to explore. But then, so Eastie sits under that little like personality, I guess. And then under my own name, which is Ella Thrupp, I do really big, like colorful abstract artworks with acrylic paint. And that style is really focused on like luminosity, iridescence, sort of a little bit like metaphysical.
A bit more feminine, like, even.
Very feminine. Mm. Yeah. Very, very feminine. And it's very dreamy. And it's very dreamlike and lots of like celestial themes and things like that. So anyone that's listening, feel free to go check it out. My Instagram is Ella Thrupp Artist. But yeah, it's really great to have both because coming back to like motivation and creativity, they sort of help nurse each other when I'm like less interested in one. I can still focus on something else.
Yeah, I feel like that's smart.
Yeah, and I didn't do that strategically as a business move. I did it because like there would be times like neither of them could sustain me on their own.
No.
So I needed to have both to sort of like switch up personalities and just be able to play with like a different creative sort of territory, I guess. But in terms of my style evolving, it's really funny that you bring that up, because for ages I was getting really, really stressed about Eastie Beastie just being the same, like not like just being the same shit, like over and over and over again. And I was like, I was really actually quite worried, like people are going to get bored of this. Like I need to start switching it up a little bit. But I think what I didn't realize, like I put a lot of pressure on myself with that, really probably too much pressure.
Yeah.
But what I didn't realize is that, you know, hindsight's 2020, is that when you look back, it was changing the whole time. Mm. It's just incrementally. And it's, I look at what I'm drawing now with Eastie, and it's so different to what I was doing when I started.
Yeah,
out.
Totally. Like,
hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe came along and changed everything. With Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. Now I can accept in-person, contactless payments right from my iPhone. No extra hardware required. What's truly remarkable is how I can cater to all of my customers' payment preferences. Whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe ensure a smooth checkout experience every time. And it's not just me. Stripe helps businesses of all sizes, from local markets to global retailers, scale quickly and stay agile. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.
The themes are still there. The medium I'm using is still there. I'm still using a lot of blue, but the themes have definitely gone into a new area.
Totally. I feel like it's kind of grown up. Like
it has grown up. Yeah.
You know, some of the, like, you're almost exploring like feminine issues in a way.
Absolutely.
Like there's a lot of pregnant women now, naked.
Yeah. So many naked women. I know. And it's funny, like I really don't want my art to be political. Like I don't want it to enter that like issues driven territory. I just want it to be
fun,
enjoyable to look at and enjoyable for me to create and like still have a bit of a sense of humor. But it's funny, like I really, because when I started out I was kind of exclusively drawing boys.
Yeah, you were.
Yeah, and then I don't know what's happened, but I just hardcore lost interest in it. I was just like, I'm just done. And I just, there's something, I've really been loving drawing lately, like roly-poly curves.
Yeah.
Just, and not like, not exclusively one body shape or even like super plus size, but just like a normal body shape, like,
I think that's great.
Yeah. And it's just been nice to just, and a lot of them like kind of look like me, I feel like, which is obviously, maybe I'm starting to love my body more. I don't know. Maybe aww. I'm finally getting there. I don't know. Nice. Sometimes I don't feel that way, but maybe we're on the journey there. So it's just, and I'm still really like, I still get really obsessed and hung up with like strange occult, like faraway history, like the beginning of the earth kind of always, and like the mythology in different cultures around the creation of the earth always just fascinates me. And yeah, I've like all my stuff has always been a bit like a bit psychedelic and trippy, but yeah. Like I've really been enjoying sort of exploring that in a bit more of a stripped back way, a bit more minimalistic. And even some of that is that the style simplifying as well sounds bad, but that came from losing interest in it a little bit, where I didn't have the patience to do a whole page of art, but I wanted to do it. I just felt like I didn't have the energy. And this was like all part of like ups and downs of mental health over the last couple of years. Like, you know, COVID took a toll on everyone, but totally. Like I really doing it in a much more simple way where I was just drawing like one figure instead of a whole scene. That was almost like I was doing it because I had nothing in me to do a full thing. And so wow. That's kind of how that style has changed as well. And I want to get it back into doing more like funky big scenes, and I want to work less with paper now these days. Like I really want to do more stuff with on resin and things like that. So
yeah, I've noticed you're doing that.
Yeah, so all of those resin pieces are for the exhibition that I was talking about.
Cool.
That's coming up. So I'm really excited to do, I'm excited to put paper away for a little bit and do more resin, because that means you can kind of get a little bit more creative with, like, you know, the color of resin. You know, you can put different materials on it, you know, you can add embellishment to it. Like, just been really caught up with rhinestones lately. I don't understand.
I've noticed that. So pretty.
Like, I literally have them on my fingers.
Oh my God.
I'm just obsessed with it.
Wow.
And I even like, I've been wearing clothes with like rhinestones on them lately.
I love that. I feel like there's a bit of a cowboy theme happening as well.
Oh, absolutely.
Cowgirl theme.
Yeah. Cowgirl, like rhinestone cowboy or something like that. But I really like to push the style a little bit further. I want to do the resin stuff that I've been doing, but much bigger. So
yeah.
Really big, oversized artworks, and maybe start to pursue the gallery route a little bit more with Eastie Beastie and doing some bigger, like higher price point pieces, and just seeing if there's a different market out there for that, which, yeah, could be fun. Could be really fun to explore.
Yeah. I feel like there is, for sure. And I feel like, you know, as it keeps evolving, like who knows what it will kind of grow into. Eastie's growing up.
Eastie's growing up. Eastie's changing. One of the struggles is like wanting to develop the style and evolve. And for a really long time, like I wanted, and I still kind of do, like I want the style to elevate and get a little bit darker, like a bit sort of like edgier in a way. And I'm really inspired by like brands like Epochi and Former and like Misfits. Like I'm really inspired by a lot of the stuff they do.
Yeah.
So it's been really like wanting to like still stay true to your style and doing stuff that's authentically you and stuff that comes from your brain. But I've wanted to push it more in that direction a little bit. And so one of the struggles has been, will people like it if it changes, basically? And will people stay on this path with me and follow me? And that's been like a real fear. And I think it's like, there's always going to be change.
Yeah.
And I think coming to terms with like, if people don't like what I'm doing, if it's authentically me and if I love it, ultimately that's okay.
Yeah.
Because if you really, really love it, and I think this comes from like, again, having done it for a little while now, you know if it's good and you know if it's good enough, and you know if it's, if you're loving doing it at the same time, other people will pick up on that as well. And people can spot authenticity from a mile away.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it might change. Yeah, it might look different, but you might lose some people, which is totally fine.
But you'll gain new ones.
Gain some people. Yeah, yeah, exactly. And like, especially with Instagram, like people follow and unfollow you all the time. Like people come and go. Like,
yeah,
it's just being, not letting that rattle you, that that's like just a fact of it.
Totally.
Just no, letting like,
that's true.
Yeah. Yeah. And you can't like, I feel like if you're restricting your style, that's when it really starts to get like suffocated. Like you've got to be really chill with just kind of letting it go forward.
And like,
and letting it kind of follow its feet, I guess, a little bit.
Yeah, find its own,
find its own way.
Know, personality.
Yeah. Yeah, fully.
But no artist, well, I can't say this with the knowledge that this is 100% true, but no yeah. artist stays the same forever. Like everyone evolves, oh, no. everyone changes. No person stays the same forever. So how definitely. Can, you know, that? And it's the same with any creative profession. Like a writer isn't going to write the same way. They exactly. change their voice change, their life experience changes. Like
100%.
A photographer is not going to stay the same. So I think that's, you know, a common, it's probably a common fear and theme, but like,
yeah.
Yeah. Like you said, like you're going to, your art's going to find the right people.
Yeah. And it'll find its way. And almost like, almost without me even kind of doing it deliberately or without me even really knowing, like that incremental step-by-step change, it'll happen almost on its own. Like if you're showing up every day and you're putting in the time and you're putting in the practice and, you know, you're just being like an engaged person in the world, like taking stuff in and, you know, having your own experiences, like you said, your style will develop and what you're interested in will develop and change. And I think, yeah, you just got to let that happen. And as like easy as it sounds, easy said, not easy done, release the fear a little bit.
Yeah, totally. Probably the hardest thing. But you do have quite a following, and I feel like the people that follow you love what you do, and you know, they've been on you on the journey so far.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I'm sure they'll stick.
So hopefully they stay with me for a while longer. I know I have the best followers. They're
yeah.
so amazing. They're so nice. They're all so nice. I've got like, I think in the 3 years I've been on, or four maybe now, three or four, I'm not sure. But in that time that I've been on Instagram, I think I've had like one negative interaction with someone. Like,
wow.
Everyone's been great.
Yeah. And you're quite engaged as well. Like you do a lot of updates and kind of sharing your own experiences and I really love that. Like, it's kind of a bit of like you're on the ride with you, like, because you're quite open about all this stuff and you share it. And I feel like that's really important with connecting to your audience in whatever you do.
Yeah. I mean, you got to be vulnerable, like, and not like vulnerability when it serves you. Like, you just got to be you, like, and you got to be okay with that. Actually, funny, like, this kind of reminds me. So because my artwork is quite like, it's very tied into like surf culture.
Yes.
And like the ocean and stuff. And I like, I love surfing. Like I surf all the time. It's really like, it got me good when it got me, but I suck at surfing. Like I'm a really crappy surfer. And for the amount of time that I have surfed and like the many years that I've done, I have very little to show for it. And I, for ages, I was like, oh my God, like if people find out, if people see me surfing and they recognize me and they see me not really surfing very well, they're going to hate my art. Like they're going to think I suck. Like I'm a fake. And I'm like,
no,
it took me so long to unlearn that and be like, you don't have to be a pro. You just like, if you're enthusiastic and you're friendly, like, and you look like you're having fun, that's fine. Like,
yeah, you don't need surfing's to be a hard. I took up surfing last year, and it's kind of like a bit of a metaphor for creative stuff too, right? Like, fear is what holds me back a lot of the time. Like, I'm actually 100%. Like, I can get up and I can ride the wave, but I'm like, it's my self doubt and my fear that gets in my way. And I'm like, is this
100%
mirroring some stuff for me back?
Oh, like completely, like words out of my mouth. And like, surfing is just also, it's one of those things where you just have to accept that like, you're going to be bad at it for a really long time.
Yeah.
And you have to like take ego out of it, because if you've got an ego while you're surfing and you can't back it up, it's brutal.
Totally.
And it's a rough fall.
And the people out there, they're not, they like, some of them are scary. They're so serious about it.
Oh, it's so intense. Oh. Like,
I love that though, that you say that. I like that rawness. Like, it's not about being the best. It's about if you enjoy something, like, are you going to let not being the best stop you from doing it? Like, what, you get one life. Why wouldn't you do that thing that you love, even if you're not the best?
Exactly. And no one ever said you have to be good at your hobbies.
No.
Like, I mean, I say that to myself all the time. I like putting the pressure on myself a little bit, but that's incorrect. Like, you don't have to be good at it. You just have to enjoy it.
And, you know, with art and creativity, it's so subjective. Like, what even is good? I mean, I'm sure you've got a benchmark for it now, but what someone thinks is good, another person won't. So it's, you can never please everybody.
Exactly. And that's another huge thing. Like, don't try, because your stuff will be bland. Like, if you're doing you and you're doing stuff that, to be like super cliche and dumb about it, that makes your soul like sing and excites you.
Exactly.
That will come through. And again, not everyone will love it, but there will be people that come across your stuff and be like, oh my God, like that's me. Like, I see that. Like, I see myself in that. And people, like I said before, people can spot that from a mile away. Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah. So you just, like, again, to just be really lame, just got to be yourself. You just have to be yourself.
So what have you got coming up? I know you mentioned your exhibition in Newcastle, but do you have anything else in the next sort of 6 months that you know is on the agenda?
Like, I'm hoping to tee up, I've got another exhibition that looks like it's happening in October, which will be really great. So I'm hopefully going to have a couple of really big pieces for that. I'm hoping to tee up a couple more exhibitions in the next 6 to 12 months, just because I really wanted people to discover me less on their phone and more in real life. And I want to rely less on Instagram, which would just be fabulous, because it's a difficult beast.
It is.
But yeah, honestly, like, I feel like the first half of the year has been extreme, personally and professionally, but I feel like I'm just, after this exhibition coming up, I will have kind of come out that really crazy period and sort of come out the other end. And I'm really hoping to just kind of truck along for a little bit, just go into cruise mode, put out some really good work, and maybe do some more merchandise. I've got some hoodies launching in the next couple of days. I love your merch.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Yeah. I'm really excited to put them live. So I've got a couple hoodies coming. And then, hopefully I'll be doing like a sample sale at some point as well in the second half of the year. So I'm not sure if that's going to be in Sydney like it was last year, or if I'll do it online, or if I'll do it maybe somewhere new, just to sort of like give some out of towners a bit of a chance.
Love that.
But something like that in the next 6 months, just sort of, get rid of some stuff.
Awesome. Watch this space. So if people want to find you online, where can they go?
So on Instagram, you can find me at whoiseastie. My website is eastiebeastie.com. And for anyone wanting to explore my other stuff, you can find me on Instagram at Ella Thrupp Artist. Yeah, that's me.
Love our chats.
I know, it's so fun. It's so funny that this is where we found ourselves from, where we met like 10 years ago.
Literally.
Is it, 10... like, it'd be close.
No, would it be long? Oh, no, well, it would be almost 10 years.
Yeah, about 10 years ago.
I know. And I feel like I should touch on that. Like, I haven't even explained that. Like, basically had a blog.
Blogging days.
Yeah, I had a blog and it was a e-zine. That's how old we are.
I know, Christ. We were literally, it was the blogging era. When.
Like, oh my God, Instagram, the blogging era. And yeah, it's so amazing though. I don't know if you see the other girls, but like online, but they've all gone on to do amazing stuff. Two of them are photographers. You know, you're an artist.
But it's so good. Like, and just, you know, we were writing about fashion and trends. And
it was just an art. We were writing, you were writing about art. Like, it's just.
I remember like us doing the shoot, like the Gorman shoot around like the Valley and West End.
So cool. I know.
So much fun.
It was, I look back and I think, oh, to just be that fearless and like, I think because none of us really knew who we were, it was just creative expression in its like rawest form. It was just like, whatever.
100%. And we were doing it. We were doing it at that time when like, there wasn't really a blueprint.
No. Follow.
Like everyone was just figuring it out at the same time.
I know.
Everyone was just enjoying themselves.
I kind of wish I stuck at it. Like, imagine if I'd done that for 10 years now.
Yeah.
Like, where would that have gone? But I think I think anything can't, as we were saying, it's sort of the theme of this episode, like anything in its original form can't continue. Like, it almost has to die and 100%. Be reborn.
Yeah.
In a different way.
Oh my God, I love that. Yeah, like, it has to die. It has to
and
be
like
reborn.
Me and my career has definitely been that. Like, it's like dying a million deaths and coming back in a new form. And it's, I don't know. That's how I keep my creativity and motivation, is like almost like reinventing.
Yeah, we're rebirthing all the time.
I love following your stuff, and yeah, it's like, honestly, I'm like, you're probably your biggest hype girl, but I honestly just love watching what you do and like you growing and evolving, and it's just like, it excites me, and I like can't wait to see where it takes you next, because it's just, you know, we're 2 years on and it's just still going up and up. And but it, as exciting. We say, it's not linear. It's always going to be a bumpy road.
Linear.
Yeah. But like, you
I don't
have
even
just
know what
so
shape
well.
To apply to it.
Like, you've done so well.
Just thank you. It's really, it's really nice to hear that. It's very, because as we were talking about, like, it's just me in the studio. So it's nice to get like the external validation.
It's nice.
And from a friend too. Like, it's nice.
It's nice to get that external feedback, but I feel like, and this is something I'm really like exploring and struggling with myself, is I feel like there is an element of people not telling you when they think you've done something good.
Exactly. Like, if you think something's good, tell them.
Like, it means so much. That as much as you think, oh, they're doing well, they don't need me to tell. It means so much as a creative.
It
really does.
Huge. Like every comment, every message I get, it's still the same effect. Like 3 years later, I'm still like, oh, that's so nice. Like, I love hearing that feedback. That's really nice. And like, you know, validation should come from within, but you know, we're social creatures. It's totally fine to get external validation too.
It's totally fine. And it just, you know, if you are having a bit of a flat day or you're thinking, you know, why am I doing this? Or like a comment like that can literally change.
Can change your day.
Yeah. It can just give you that confirmation that, oh, this is actually reaching the people it needs to, and like someone got something out of this. So
absolutely. I think it's important to remember that a lot more people love your stuff than are telling you, and a lot more people love you than are telling you. And I think it's nice to remind yourself of that, that like,
good point.
Everyone's just kind of doing their own thing. Everyone's busy. We're all living these very intense, complicated lives.
Thank you for joining us, EC. It's been so
lovely.
Thanks
for having me.
And
I love this. Thank you so much. This has been such a treat.
Yay. Thank you so much.
I love that conversation with Ella. If you want to check her out, make sure you go to her Instagram at whoisEastie or her website. Well, that's all for today. I hope you all have had a wonderful few weeks. We have plenty of big interviews coming up on the show. And if there's anything you would like to see or hear from us, please let us know. You know where to find us at How Do You Hustle Online. And please, if you have enjoyed this interview, consider leaving us a 5-star rating on Spotify Podcasts or Apple Podcasts. You can also leave us a review on Apple Podcasts down the bottom as well. It means the world. You can also contact us for podcast training or advice. And we are also available for media and marketing training for businesses. If you are a freelancer or creative with previous podcasting or media experience in broadcast, we are currently on the hunt for a potential guest co-host for a few episodes. We are looking for someone preferably based in Queensland. If that is you, please send us a message online.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe came along and changed everything. With Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. Now I can accept in-person, contactless payments right from my iPhone. No extra hardware required. What's truly remarkable is how I can cater to all of my customers' payment preferences. Whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe ensure a smooth checkout experience every time. And it's not just me. Stripe helps businesses of all sizes, from local markets to global retailers, scale quickly and stay agile. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.